Would you pray with me? Holy God, giver of light, we lift up our hearts and minds this day to Christ, the morning star. By the light of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us your saving word and lead us to offer our lives to you in service and in love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our first passage today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 690 of the Old Testament. This is the prophecy of the wise men, which we will reflect more on in our gospel lesson for today. Hear God's word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then they shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They will bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And our second passage today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 2 of the New Testament. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I might go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Well, I'm wondering, did you get what you wanted for Christmas? I'm not talking about the Paw Patrol vehicle that my daughter got from Santa, or maybe that Apple Watch, but did you get those things that you truly longed for? The thing you long for so deeply that it's in your bones? Did those relationships get mended? Did you spend Christmas without the whole of grief? The message that we often receive from the world is if we do X, Y, or Z, we can have a fulfilling Christmas or a fulfilling year. If you just make the Christmas meal perfectly, or you just fulfill your New Year's resolutions, all will be well. We get lulled into thinking there's a formula, and if we don't get the formula right, we won't feel completely fulfilled, and somehow we've done Christmas all wrong. this year, this Advent, because of our theme of light and darkness, I experienced a little bit more longing than usual. Perhaps it was because we all had to slow down and pay attention, to linger into the darkness and to wait for the light to grow each week. We had a number of members die here in our church this Advent. And as we celebrated Advent each week in worship, I also presided at memorial services, proclaiming the hope of the resurrection, the gift of eternal life. It was quite a juxtaposition, sitting with grief and longing, and also the hope of Jesus Christ. We also have a number of members in our church who are sick, who are suffering silently, who are struggling. And the world we live in has division and strife. And it's into this world that God breaks in and gives us the good news of the gospel from our gospel, Matthew. Our gospel lesson this morning from Matthew 2 has this tension between longing and fulfillment. Out of all the gospels, Matthew takes a very sober look at the political and theological ramifications of the birth of Jesus, King of the Jews. A little bit of context, if you don't mind. Matthew is written to a group of Jews and Gentiles, written about 40 years after Jesus died and rose. So a whole generation of people had come and gone in that time period who hadn't lived with or followed Jesus. And this gospel was written to them to help them understand who Jesus was and how they could follow him, the light of the world. And at the time that this gospel was written, there was so much longing. Longing to be freed because the Romans occupied the Holy Land. Longing for peace because there was war everywhere. Longing for wrongs to be made right. And in the midst of this longing, our gospel comes to us today. And what's clear to us about the birth of Jesus is that it was a miracle. It was unexpected. While Jews had prophecies of the Messiah that they were very familiar with, Matthew makes it clear in his gospel that the people who knew about these prophecies didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. It was the people on the outside who knew nothing about the prophecy that saw Jesus for who he was first, whether it was the shepherds or, in the case of today, the wise men. And so today we have these three wise men. Now, according to Middle Eastern tradition, they would have been astronomers, using the gifts of science at their time to read the natural world around them. It was their job to pay attention to the created order. It was their job to slow down. And yet they weren't Jewish. They didn't know anything about Isaiah chapter 60 in this prophecy. But one day, they saw a star. Now, they could have just seen the star and written about it in their notebook and continued on their way, but instead, they've seen this star, and it's so unique, it's so bright, it's so special, that they are compelled to follow the star. Now, they would have traveled likely from Persia or Iran, traveling great distance. In fact, they probably didn't end up arriving right after Jesus was born, but that's another sermon. They've taken a leap of faith, though, from just seeing the star and writing down about it in their notebooks to actually going on a journey and traveling at great length. Something has to happen in order for them to go on this journey. They have to trust. They have to trust that this star that they see is so unique, so special, that it's worth leaving behind their homes and their families to go on a journey. And so these wise men, they trust their gut, if you will, their intuition, to continue to follow this star all the way from the comforts of home in Iran across great distance to the Holy Land. This intuition takes them to Jerusalem, where they consult with the great religious leaders and King Herod. Now, at this point, they have figured out that a child has been born, King of the Jews, and they tell this to Herod, who is quite upset because that's the term for Herod, King of the Jews. There can't possibly be two kings. And so Herod calls together all of the religious leaders of Jerusalem into a room with the wise men to look at the prophecies. And all the religious leaders say very nonchalantly, yes, this child is to be born in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, from our holy texts. Now, the priests and the scribe have known this answer all along, except they've become so comfortable with the prophecy that they kept forgetting to look for the star. They stopped paying attention. They tuned out. It takes outsiders, these three wise men who knew nothing about their holy text, to jolt them back to reality. Soren Kierkegaard has written a beautiful essay for Christmas called Only a Rumor. And in it, he observes, although the scribes could explain where the Messiah would be born, they remained quiet in Jerusalem. They didn't accompany the wise men to see the baby. Similarly, we may know the whole of Christianity and we make no movement at all. The power that moved heaven and earth leaves us unmoved. And yet the three kings only had a rumor to go by, and yet it moved them to make a great journey. The scribes had all the information at their fingertips. They sat and studied scripture, and yet none of that knowledge made them move. Now, the Magi didn't have the same longing as the scribes or the priest, because this story about the Messiah wasn't their story, it wasn't their faith. And yet they have eyes to see that this star has great power, that this child is transformative. I wonder, have you ever found yourself in the position of being one of those scribes? The story is so familiar, it's so rote, that it leaves you in autopilot, kind of working along, not thinking about the majesty, the power, the transformation of the gift of Jesus. We all have seasons in life like that, and yet we also have seasons of longing, longing to find that star, longing to find fulfillment. That same longing that motivated the Magi perhaps is also at work in your life today. Perhaps what might provide fulfillment to our longing or balm to our souls is just what happened in our passage. You have to stop first to pay attention, which is what the Magi did, and then you go on a journey seeking, and then you notice where God resides. In this case, the Magi found what they were looking for. The star stopped at the stable in Bethlehem, and they found the baby Jesus. They had to push past, though, their fear of the unknown, their fear of wandering, in order to go on this journey. It wasn't a simple formula for them to see the star, find the star, see Jesus. No, they had some false turns. They had to stop and ask for directions, and they didn't go on the journey alone. Notice there are three wise men, not just one, but three. They traveled together in community to find this light. Similarly, we are on the same journey, not alone, but together in community. Some of us might be taking this for granted. Some of us might be longing, but we're all on this journey together. And together, at the beginning of the new year, I invite you to consider how you are following the light of Christ. The gift of this light is that it's given to all of us. And it comes regardless of how messy or how easy or joy-filled your life is. God's gift of light comes to us and it guides us on our journey. Sometimes the journey is rough, we might feel lost, but God is there. And sometimes the journey is easy, it might be filled with joy, and God is there too. The gift of Christmas is that God didn't want us to go on this journey alone. God traveled with us. And the gift of Christmas is that God doesn't want us to go on the journey unchanged. God desires us to find a star, to see the light, and to let it change us and transform our lives. So I wonder, as we face 2020, this year of perfect vision, if you will, if we might follow the star, if we might be a little bit more like the Magi, not taking our faith for granted, not settling into autopilot, but being active, following something, seeking something, striving for something, and also receiving the gift that God gives you every single day. How can you follow the light of Christ? Well, to help you follow the star, we're giving you some literal stars today. These are called star words, and we had a group of folks write 400 of these a couple of weekends ago. There's a word on here, and it's meant to be a gift for you in the coming year. The wise men traveled a great distance to offer their gifts to the newborn child, but they were responding to the gift of the light given first to them. They received God's gift, and then turn, they offered their lives on that journey. And so may we receive these gifts in the same way we receive the gifts, other gifts God gives us. Now, like any other gift, this could be put on a shelf, it could be discarded, it could fall to the bottom of your bag, or you might use it as a prayer guide for you in the coming year. Maybe you'll put the star word on your computer monitor or on your mirror, or you'll keep it in a place where you might see it every day. I wonder, as you reflect on your word, mine this year is truth, fitting for a preacher, I suppose, what new ideas might evolve? What wisdom might God be giving you? Epiphany is the celebration of God's presence breaking through and shining a light in the darkness. So today I invite the ushers to come forward, and as you take a star from the basket, hold on to it, reflect on how it might guide you and give you a new vision as we approach this 2020 year. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen. I'd like the ushers to come forward, and as they're handing out the star words, we will have a song of reflection.